Welcome to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Decker. This podcast is dedicated to providing my books in full, unabridged audio format. Look for new episodes every Tuesday. Now, on with the show. War of the Fathers by Dan Decker. Previously on War of the Fathers.
It took several minutes to find the large three-prong tracks. They had not been following for long before Jorad could see shadows moving ahead. He stumbled when he saw that the shadows were walking on two legs, and grabbed a tree for support. Even in the moonlight, Jorad could see the set of Adar's jaw. He had half hoped that they had been following men. Large men. But the snarling ruled that out. What were these things? He sighed when he saw Adar's determined look. The thing that Jorad had assumed would never happen. And the moment that Adar had been preparing for since as long as Jorad could remember, had arrived.
Chapter 4. The leaves rustled with the breeze, and flashes of moonlight splashed onto Adar's face as the movement of the trees created gaps above them. Jorad was surprised to see that Adar was calm, even contemplative. He would have expected Adar to be anxious and afraid, given that the thing he had been paranoid about for years had finally happened. "We have to get to Rarban," Adar whispered as he stared at the place where the Hunwe had disappeared. Jorad made a face but did not speak. He could still smell the Hunwe even though they were gone. It was a musky stench mixed with rotting flesh. He sniffed, trying to imprint the smell on his memory. The return of the Hunwe changed everything. His first thought was for Soray. He would have to convince her to come with them. Adar had not expressed the sentiment yet, but Jorad knew that their time in Nebron had come to a close. His second thought was that he'd have to reevaluate his decision about returning to Rarban to make a claim. "The Rarban portal is our best chance now," Adar said, staring at Jorad. "We don't even know if the portal will work." Jorad didn't need any more lectures from Adar. He needed time to think. "For all we know, it's just a bunch of scrolls gathering dust." He strained his ears. The only sound he was able to hear were the crickets that had started up again after the Hunwe had left. "Well, what do you suggest?" Adar asked. "I don't know." Jorad thought about Rudur and was filled with anxiety. Why hadn't he told Adar about the Okui? They had lost a day. One day could make a big difference. "No," he thought. "I won't wallow in what could have been." He could not afford to think like that, or second-guessing would keep him from getting anything done. Telling Adar about Rudur would not have changed much. They would still have spent the day looking for Hunwe. Adar might have been more zealous, but in the end they had found the Hunwe by mere chance anyway. Regardless, Jorad could no longer keep the truth from Adar. He took a deep breath and hoped that Adar would not kill him. When he had finished telling Adar everything about Rudur, Adar did not say anything. He didn't need to, because he could recognize the guilt on Jorad's face. "What do we do now?" Jorad asked. There had to be a way out of returning to Rarban. Everything he had learned about it made it seem like an impossible task, especially with the Hunwe breathing down their necks. "At least you're finally asking," Adar said. "To even have a chance, you're going to need to focus. Hard decisions lay ahead, and you will be dead if you are in the habit of hesitating or doubting." Hearing this advice was unnerving. Adar had taught Jorad to think things through. Oh sure, there were times when Adar jumped into things, but it was always to protect somebody. His father was irrational in other things, women for example. But when it came to matters of arms and death, Adar was cold and calculating. "You must return to Rarban and find a way into the portal," Adar said. "We don't know what's in there," Jorad said. "And it will take me forever. If we at least knew for sure there was something we could use to fight the Hunwe, I would go without argument." "It's a gamble," Adar said. "But we don't have a lot of options." Jorad did not know what to say. "Do you need to rest before we continue?" Adar asked. Jorad sighed. "Let's go." He should have guessed that Adar would want to track the Hunwe still. As Jorad walked out of the pine trees, he noticed something out of place. He could just make out the outline of a boot in the shadows. He took out his sword and approached. Adar noticed his actions and left the pines a different way while also unsheathing his sword. Holding his sword ready to strike, Jorad took several more steps forward and frowned. The Hunwe had not noticed them at all. A dead man lay at their feet. The body had been hid from their view by several wild raspberry bushes. Jorad shivered at how close he had been to taking out his sword when the Hunwi had approached. If he had done that, they would have been seen for sure. It would have been a relief to know that the shadows had not spotted them if the reason had not been a corpse. Adar bent over to examine it as best he could in the scant light. From what little Jorad could make out, the man was his age and had a beard. There was also blood on the chest of the corpse where he had been stabbed multiple times. "How long do you think he has been dead?" Jorad asked as he knelt beside the body. He had little experience in this area. "Melia, he hoped to keep it that way." "No more than a day," Adar said, "if that. Do you know him?" Jorad rubbed his head. "I cannot tell for sure in this light, but I don't think so. We will report the body to the town guard when we return." Adar stood and put his sword away. "For now, we hunt Hunwei." There was a slight glimmer in Adar's eye as he spoke, and Jorad wagered that it probably felt good to have been finally proven right after all these years. Too bad that being right signaled the end of the world. As they followed the returning tracks, Jorad made a greater effort to remain alert than he had before. If there were still Hunwei about, he did not want to be caught unaware. At one point, he realized that he was grasping the hilt of one of his daggers and let go. He ran his fingers over the imprints on his hand as they continued on their way. An hour later, they were following the Hunwei boot prints up a large hill when there was a rushing sound like a strong wind. Jorad froze in the confusion. Other than a slight breeze from the opposite direction, the air was still. The night had been cold and the sky was partially cloudy. The moons had just gone behind a cloud, giving the terrain an eerie glow. Not knowing what else to do, he crouched and noticed that Adar was doing the same. When the sound did not stop, Adar continued to move forward without a backward glance at Jorad. Jorad followed, hoping they were not walking into a trap. They had not made it far when he could feel warm air blowing from up ahead. The trees in front of them shook, and a shiny silver object appeared above the treetops. Moonlight glinted off the metal. "What in the name of Melia?" Jorad thought. It was hard for him to describe, but it looked like a big metal box with glowing light coming from the bottom. It was disturbing the air beneath it as it rose. The object moved up into the sky until it was almost out of sight. Was he looking at a Hunwei ship? Jorad recalled Adar describing ships to him, but seeing one firsthand was something else. If he remembered right, Adar had mentioned that humans once upon a time had similar things. The feeling of awe that overcame Jorad filled him with nausea. How could they hope to fight these things? Would people in the ship even notice if they were being pummeled by arrows? End of the world, indeed. Ruder's advice was beginning to sound more plausible by the hour. There was a loud boom of thunder, and the ship disappeared. One moment it was there, hovering in the air, and the next it was just gone. Jorad spotted the silver object skimming across the sky as it left behind a trail of clouds. He tripped when he remembered the thunder from earlier in the day. Had he heard his ship and not known it? What else had he missed? Ruder had warned them that the Hunwei were coming, and Jorad had thought that he was crazy. He had heard the thunder and discounted it. He had seen the small trail of clouds and thought nothing of it. Of course, Adar had not caught on to that last one either. Had the shooting stars last night been ships as well? Jorad tried to think if he'd missed anything else as he followed Adar to the clearing where the ship had come from. There was a burnt smell in the air, and some of the grass was on fire. Most of the vegetation in the middle lay flat as if it had been pushed down by a great weight. Adar and he went around stomping on the burning grass until all the flames had been extinguished. They didn't need a forest fire on top of everything else. Based on the number of tracks and the differing sizes, it appeared that there had been more than 3 Hunwei, but it was hard to get an exact number as the lack of light kept them from getting a good picture of the ground. "It went north," Jorad said. "Like the shooting stars." "What?" Adar growled. "Why didn't you mention this before?" "You know now." Jorad was glad for the dark to cover his embarrassment. He examined a large impression in the ground that was wider than a carriage and about twice as long. He figured it had been made from the weight of the ship. "Anything else you have forgotten to tell me?" Adar asked. "Why are the Hunwei interested in Eberron?" Jorad asked, ignoring Adar's question. "Rarban, Peru, Kolonopo, even Zekirani would make a lot more sense for the first wave of attacks." Adar snorted. "Who says this isn't the second or third? And they're just getting to us. Besides, Eberron isn't different from any other place." "I wish that we had been able to figure out Vigorok," Jorad said. "Unless you have more ideas on how to get it to work," Adar said, "we do not have the time. We can get to Zakharani in 2 weeks if we hurry. Darren's tablet? Jorrad asked. It only made sense that Adar would want to take another shot at it, as it was on the way to Rarban anyway. When Adar nodded, Jorrad sighed. Why not add another difficult task to the pile? They had tried to get to the tablet before, but they'd been denied access. It was another relic from before the Severain that Adar believed could access the weapons of the Fathers. We didn't have much success before, Jorrad said. We didn't try very hard. Adar looked determined, and Jorrad realized that he did not just want to look. He meant to take it. If you believe the Rarban portal is our best option, why don't you go back and clear your name? It'll take years for me to pass the trials. Adar studied Jorrad and nodded. A good thought. But I've been gone too long. The evidence against me was set up too well. They did not believe me then, they will not believe me now. No, you are our best option for getting into the portal. You're going to have to convince the Rarban Council to expedite the process. If we can gather some evidence, they may see the urgency. It will be hard enough convincing them that I am a Raheed, Jorrad said. Proving that the Hunwe have returned will be impossible. I don't deny it's a bad plan. Would you rather stay here and wait to die? You can do something, even if it amounts to nothing, and know that you did your best to stop it. Besides, we have a lot of miles between us and Rarban. We will look for convincing proof. Rarban is 2 months away, Jorrad said. It will be overrun long before we get there. Adar shook his head. It's closer than you think. After we reach Zakharani, I'll get you to Rarban in 2 days, maybe less. Are you mad? Jorad's stomach churned with the thought. If Adar was losing it now, he did not know what they would do. I know a shortcut, Adar said. A place called the Arches. You've been there before, but you don't remember. It's our one advantage. Jorad was taken aback. Adar was not a liar, but his claim was laughable. If Adar was right, and he could get to Rarban in weeks instead of months, they may have a chance of getting into the portal before the Hunwe came. Jorrad felt the weight of duty hanging from his shoulders like a yoke. Only instead of it being attached to a cart, it was a mountain. No, that was wrong. It was like the whole of the Jagged Mountains had fallen on him, and Adar expected him to dig himself out. Jorrad did not like the thought that he was responsible to gain access to something where so many had failed, and that it might turn out to be a waste anyway. How could this ridiculous plan be their best hope to fight the Hunwe? Jorrad turned to leave. I want proof that it will work. You won't find any, Adar said. I have been looking for years. Rarban beckoned. Jorrad ground his teeth. It was beginning to look like he had no choice now but to heed its call. Chapter 5. Tar-Heul sighed, squinting from the light. It was early morning, and the angle of the sun was blinding. The dew was beginning to evaporate, and he could tell already that it was going to be a hot day. They had camped on the outskirts of Nebron late last night, and had been careful to conceal their presence from the road. It probably wasn't necessary. What were the chances that Adar would be in this backwoods town anyway? Still, old habits die hard. While they were on a retrieval mission, it had been Tar's mission for the last 15 years. Even though the feeling of urgency had long since dissipated, they had awoken before first light in Broken Camp. Tar took a deep breath and closed his eyes, focusing on the sound of the gravel crunching underneath the hooves of their horses. He froze. Had it really been more than 15 years since the night that he had found Adar beside Nellian as her life ebbed away? It was a night that continued to haunt Tar's dreams. Adar's pristine white clothes had been soiled with Nellian's blood, and his cold, emotionless face had stood in contrast to the dreadful pleas of the man dying beside Nellian. If Tar had known how that night would change his life, he would have run from Rarban and never looked back. So many things would have been different. Tar pushed away the memory with a prayer to Vikael. You want to go in alone? Tarnir Nitel asked as he wiped his brow. It was easy to forget when they were riding that Tarnir was a good foot shorter. Tar had supposed that that was the reason why Tarnir was always so determined to get what he wanted, trying to make up for something. Today Tar could not tell if Tarnir wanted to come or not. I don't know. Tar touched his fingers to his lips, completing the prayer. If the others noticed, they did not comment. He slowed his horse to a stop and looked down the hill at the town. Nebron is small, Three armed men will be noticed right away, Terth said, where one might avoid attention. Loray would like this morning, Terth thought, as he closed his eyes, imagining he was back home, sitting on the porch eating eggs and toast, with Loray cuddled beside him as Cheru played nearby, having shown no interest in her breakfast. After several long seconds, he reminded himself that Cheru had not been that small for almost 2 decades. There had been a time when that memory warmed him, but now it was just an empty husk. The years of watching Cheru grow to a woman were past, and even though he had made regular return visits to Rarban, it was never long after arriving before Rihar Abel insisted that Terra leave again to chase some other rumor of Adar. At first, every day Terra had spent away from his family was a bit heavier than the last. But that had changed. The gulf between Loray and him had grown until Cheru was the only connection they had remaining. These days, it was better for him to be away because Loray had taken a lover. Terra did not have proof, but at times there were words that his wife and daughter exchanged that left him puzzled. He had refused to ask questions or give much thought to the matter. What was the point? He could not blame her because duty had become his mistress. Melia take the Rihar, Terra thought. Rihar Abel claimed that his grandson Jorad must be found to protect Rarban, but he said many things that Terra had long since stopped believing. It was mere duty that caused him to continue the search. He had, after all, his oath to obey. If you find Adar, you'll want us with you, Tarnor said. You cannot kill him alone. Perhaps Tarnor did want to come. I should go, Louis Leip said, startling Terra. The man spoke so infrequently that Terra was never sure if Louis knew what went on around him. Adar does not know me. Tarnor snorted. I'd give you 10 minutes before you forgot why you were there. Louis just shook his head and did not answer as Terra closed his eyes again and wished the sun would melt away the pain. It did not matter why they were still looking for Jorad. What mattered was that Abel still believed Jorad could be found. I will go alone, Terra said. Terra noticed Tarnor hide a smile and realized that must have been what he wanted from the beginning. Terra almost changed his mind just because he did not want Tarnor to think he could be controlled, but he relented. Tarnor and Louis could both use the extra rest, and it would be better for Terra to scout out the city alone. If, by some remote chance, Adar was there, they did not need to announce their presence. That's it for this week. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for another installment of the Dan Decker Books Podcast. One last thing before you go. Sign up for my newsletter at dandeckerbooks.com, and you will receive a free ebook. The text, audio, and music for this show are all copyrighted by Dan Decker. All rights reserved. This podcast is published by Xander Revolutions LLC.